Ladies and gentlemen, wherever you are, however you may be listening, welcome to the JET Show presented by Full Press Jets and the Full Press Coverage Network. I am your host, Jesse E. Thurmer. This show will be available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Just search Full Press Jets. Follow us on Twitter at Full Press Jets and follow me, your host, at JT_17, all spelled out. We are here to do one thing. And one thing only, talk New York Jets football. Thank you for making this your home for New York Jets podcasts. Today, as we get ready for the 2020 season, hopefully, Le'Veon Bell and Sam Darnold, by base metrics, didn't have a fantastic season. But it's not entirely their fault. And it's not fair to say that it's entirely their fault. So first we're going to look at Le'Veon Bell, the type of season he had and what led to that season. Then we're going to go to break and we're going to do the same thing for Sam Darnold. So that way we could get some idea of what we need to expect from these two key offensive weapons next season. 2019 was filled of career lows for Le'Veon Bell. Except for his 2015 season when he was put on injured reserve, but we're not going to count that because he missed more than half the season. Bleacher Report, 6/28/20. Jets running back highly motivated to prove 2019 was aberration was the headline. Was 2019 truly an aberration for Le'Veon Bell? Growing up, Le'Veon Bell has always been one of the elite running backs in the NFL. And every season comes around, okay, running backs come and go, but there's usually 5, 6, 7 every season for half a decade that are consistently around. Le'Veon Bell has always been one of those running backs. He can run it. He can catch it. He can block it. He has a style of play like nobody else. So what happened this past season? Compared to 2017, he had less rushing attempts. Rushed for only 789 yards compared to 1,291. He only had 3 touchdowns compared to 9. He had half as many first downs. He couldn't eclipse 20-plus yards on one given carry. His yards per attempt was down to 3.2 from a high 4.0. His yards per game barely put him over 50 compared to edging up closer to the 90s in 2017. And he was getting 5 to 6 less attempts per game. His attempts per game, that's play calling. Less attempts per game has, Le'Veon Bell can't do anything about that. That's just the offensive staff deciding when they want to run plays. 502 of his yards came after contact. That's good for 63%. He was 36th in the league in yards before contact. 36th in the league. There were backup running backs who could get farther down the field than Le'Veon Bell could before first contact. That 36th doesn't look too good for the likes of Le'Veon Bell, who we know is very elusive behind the line of scrimmage, very patient. This whole stat line doesn't paint Bell in the best picture when you just look at it for the face values of what it is. But we can't say it's his fault. And we can't put all of the blame on Le'Veon Bell. Here's why. The New York Jets fielded, as we all know, one of the worst offensive lines in recent memory. Especially from a run game perspective. Le'Veon Bell was tied with Pittsburgh Steelers running back Benny Snell for the least amount of rushing yards before contact per attempt. Benny Snell of the Pittsburgh Steelers is a supplemental running back who comes in on occasional downs to ease the workload of their starting running backs. So if you get rid of him, Le'Veon Bell was first in the least amount of rushing yards before contact per attempt. 1.2 yards gained before contact. You can trip forward and get more than 1.2 yards
per carry before contact. For reference, the mid of the pack was closer to 2.0 to 2.2 yards, about a whole extra yard. So what does this mean for all-pro running back Le'Veon Bell? The man didn't have enough time to look up before he was getting hit. 1.2 yards before first contact? When the league average is a yard plus more than that? No running back can make that work. And I know that there's an argument to be made in terms of running backs that they're the most overvalued position in the NFL because as long as you have a good offensive line, anybody can make it work. Okay, it doesn't matter who the Dallas Cowboys have at running back, whether it's Ezekiel Elliott or Tony Pollard, because if Tony Pollard gets 20 carries a game, I put all my money that he could get more than 100 rushing yards. Because the Dallas Cowboys consistently have a great offensive line. And as good as any running back is, whether it's Trenton Cannon on the New York Jets, who's a special teamer, or it's Barry Sanders, Hall of Famer, they need something to work off of. They need blocking from the offensive line. They need blocking from the wide receivers. Next season, this coming season, is going to be a huge proving point for Le'Veon Bell because Adam Gase already isn't a huge fan that Le'Veon Bell's there in the first place. Adam Gase isn't a huge fan of Le'Veon Bell. Thought he was overpaid or that the Jets didn't need him.
Eyes of the head coach, Le'Veon Bell's on the hot seat.
Especially with the amount of money that the Jets paid. The Jets could have traded him back at the 2019 trade deadline. The Pittsburgh Steelers reportedly were calling the New York Jets to see if they could get Bell back, and they said, no, Le'Veon Bell's not on the table right now. Right now. But when this season comes and goes, and the Super Bowl's over with, or we're done with the 16-game regular season, or however many games it's going to be, you can't judge the play of Le'Veon Bell solely on his rushing yards and touchdowns. I would love it if he could clip 1,000 yards and 10 touchdowns. That'd be great. It'd be great if he could get back to a Pro Bowl. It'd be great if he could get another All-Pro selection. It'd be great if we could see prime Le'Veon Bell from the Pittsburgh Steelers in the green and white of the New York Jets. Because Jets fans love our running back. We're waiting for the second coming of Curtis Martin. When the Jets have good rushing games, we have very good teams. If the offensive line cannot play better, which I really hope they do, because this is a great offensive line, compared to last year. If they can't perform better, we cannot judge Le'Veon Bell's performance as a do-all to end-all on whether or not he should remain with the New York Jets. If his yards before contact remain unchanged and he posts another 800-yard season, we can't blame Le'Veon Bell for that. It's only if his yards before contact are greater, are up closer to the league average, and he posts 800-yard seasons, that's like, well, what are we paying you for then? Christian McCaffrey is a very good, very talented running back. He does amazing things for the Carolina Panthers. He can run the ball. He can catch the ball. He can block. He could go, that man could line up in the slot. He could line out on the sidelines and run routes with any receiver in the NFL. He can run the ball down any team's throats. He was also the third highest running back in yards before contact. Third highest. He was getting the farthest downfield before he was getting hit. To judge the success of Le'Veon Bell has to be in part judging the success of the offensive line. If the offensive line does great things and Le'Veon Bell doesn't perform, then now we need to start considering how much of his contract is actually worth it. But if this offensive line that we've assembled can't open up holes can't keep the point of attack past essentially the line of scrimmage, it's not fair to judge the position whose success is fully dependent on the success of the offensive line. That's not fair to Le'Veon Bell. That's not fair to any running back in the NFL. So when this season's over, don't just look at the rushing yards and the touchdowns. Unless if he rushed for 1,600 yards, in which case, yes, just look at that. The case for Le'Veon Bell, I don't care how talented you are, you need a good offensive line. When we come back from the break, Sam Darnold's expectations, because the quarterback touches the ball on every offensive snap, hopefully. What does he need to do in order for this to be considered a successful season? We'll be right back after this. Welcome back. This is the JET Show. I am your host, Jesse E. Thurmer. Last segment, we were talking about Le'Veon Bell and the success he needs to have. And what we would consider to be an improvement from last season. And now we're going to do the same thing with Sam the Man Darnold. Just as Le'Veon Bell's rushing touchdowns and rushing yards cannot be the sole definer of if Le'Veon Bell is improving or not, the Jets' win-loss record cannot be what defines Sam Darnold's progress. The overarching discrepancy between Sam Darnold and every other quarterback in that 2018 draft class, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield, Josh Rosen. Except we're not going to count Josh Rosen because Josh Rosen can't win a starting job in Arizona. He can't win a starting job in Miami. They always say that a third of first-round drafts go on to be stars, a third turn out to be okay, and a third turn to be busts. I think we all know where Josh Rosen is. Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield. The three of them, compared to Sam Darnold, okay, got put into much better positions to succeed. Josh Allen went to a much better Buffalo team. On paper, the Buffalo Bills were better than the New York Jets. They have a fantastic all-around defense. A legitimate offensive line, serviceable wide receivers. They went out and got Stephon Diggs for him. The Buffalo Bills had their entire crown assembled, and Josh Allen was just that missing centerpiece, and they went out and got him. Lamar Jackson, with his incredibly unique skill set, went to a well-built team in the Baltimore Ravens, a very good offensive lineman. He has great young talent at that left tackle position. And he has a head coach who knew how to build a playbook around him. Baker Mayfield. Yes, he went to the dumpster fire of the Cleveland Browns. But they tried to put weapons around him. Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry, David Njoku. Although David Njoku wants a trade now. Kareem Hunt for a little bit. Nick Chubb. Yes, they brought Baker Mayfield in. They also brought plenty of weapons around him to allow him to succeed. Mike Maccagnan brought Sam Darnold into the New York Jets and gave him diddly squat and told him to go win. In his last two drafts as the New York Jets general manager, Mike Maccagnan drafted four offensive players. Two in 2018, two in 2019. In 2018, he drafted Chris Herndon and Trenton Cannon. And then in 2019, he drafted Chuma Adoga and Trevon Wesco. What did we get out of all of that? One starting tight end. Two special teamsers in Trenton Cannon and Trevon Wesco. And a backup offensive lineman who got beat like a drum in Chuma Adoga. So the Jets brought in this incredibly young, the youngest quarterback in that entire class, brought him into a team, gave him nothing, and tried to go win a game. At least this past season, with Joe Douglas as the new general manager, he came in and flipped this entire ordeal around. Mekhi Becton, huge left tackle. You know who has a great young talent at left tackle? Lamar Jackson. He gets cheaper, better talent in Denzel Mims than greedy Robbie Anderson, who's taking shots at the New York Jets for not taking a risk on him because he was an undrafted free agent. Denzel Mims can win contested catches. I trade Robbie Anderson away for a ham sandwich and a bag of chips. And then he goes into free agency and gets a bunch of legitimate offensive line talent. McGovern, Van Rotten, Andrews, Fant. And then he drafted this kid Clark, who's raw. He's raw. He can get there. He can be a starter. He's just a little bit raw right now. Throughout all of this, with none of these weapons, Sam Darnold's 2019 statistics surpassed his 2018 in almost every metric except sacks. He was sacked more in 2019 than he was in 2018. Throughout the same number of games, he threw more completions, threw the ball more, had a higher completion percentage, threw for more yards, threw for more touchdowns, threw for less interceptions, had more yards per game, had more fourth quarter comebacks, more game-winning drives, and more wins. And he did all of that with a team that was in the top third of the league in drop passes. He was hurried the most out of any quarterback in the NFL, and the Jets were top 10 in times pressured. With the entire NFL breathing down Sam Darnold's neck, he got better and better. If you get rid of that Monday Night Football nightmare against the New England Patriots where he throws four interceptions, okay, he's down to 9, tied with Josh Allen, right in the middle of the pack of the league. Sam is getting better with nothing around him. His turnovers are becoming less, which is great because that was the biggest knock of him coming out of USC, was that he made bad decisions, and that cost the team. That's the benefit of taking such a young quarterback. Sam Darnold is going to be entering into his third season in the NFL, and he is younger than Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow hasn't taken a snap for an NFL camp yet. Is older than Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold's going to be in his third season. The problem with this upcoming season is it's going to be one of the hardest the New York Jets and New York Jets fans have faced in a long, long time, including both Super Bowl teams. You come off a season where a third of your team was on injured reserve, your team barely scrapes by with a new head coach, a new general manager, and they say, go play the best teams in the NFL next season. That entire schedule is broken down for you on the Full Press Jets section of fullpresscoverage.com. If you want to take a more in-depth look at it into what you can expect, it's on the website, written by Alex Marioni. Go check it out. If the Jets are worse than 7-9 this season, which is what they finished this past season, we can't be surprised because we are playing majority playoff teams. This team is still young and raw, but that doesn't mean, okay, that just because the Jets lose more games or don't win as many, or maybe they go 8-8, that doesn't mean Sam Darnold isn't getting better. Because here's what we need to see. Higher completion percentage, less interceptions, less sacks. What do all of those things have in common? Yes, part of them all have to do with the performance of everybody else on the other team. Your receivers need to catch balls. Your receivers need to contest catches. Your offensive line needs to hold your blocks up. But the overarching theme behind your completion percentage, your interceptions, and your sacks are your decision-making abilities. When push comes to shove, can Sam Darnold step up and be the quarterback that the Jets need him to be? If he could throw closer to the league average in completion percent, if he could throw in the high 60s, low 70s, that would be the greatest news for Jets fans, because it means Sam Darnold's putting the ball where it belongs, and it means that the wide receivers that the Jets have gotten Sam Darnold, okay, in Jamison Crowder, in Denzel Mims, in tight end Chris Herndon, in Ryan Griffin, that means that they're elevating their level of play better. If Sam's throwing less interceptions, he's making better decisions, the receivers are more aggressive, the receivers are fighting for the ball, or they're at least not willing to give up the interception on a broken route. If he's sacked less, that means he's getting rid of the ball quicker, he's more elusive, or it at least means the offensive line is playing better, which should in turn elevate Sam Darnold's level of play. But when we talk about decision-making, there's two plays that come to mind. One in the Monday Night Football game against the Patriots, okay? Late in the game, third or fourth quarter, Sam Darnold under pressure. He's been getting run at with some cover one, cover zero blitz all game long, facing pressure again, and instead of stepping into his throw to deliver a strike, he steps back, takes the hit, and weak arms, launches a duck into the air, and Stephon Gilmore intercepts the pass. That's mental maturity for the quarterback to be able to take that hit for the sake of the completion, which in turn is a decision-making capability to say, this is not the best choice for me to make right now, is to just throw the ball up into no man's land. The other pass is a little more controversial amongst Jets fans. Sam Darnold threw Jamison Crowder a wide-open touchdown pass against Baltimore, and he dropped it. And the next play, he delivers an absolute laser to Jamison Crowder for the touchdown. It was a great throw. It was a great throw. He put it exactly where it needed to be, where nobody else could get it except Jamison Crowder for the touchdown, which is why you might say it was a good throw. The problem I have with that throw is I don't think it was a good decision, because if Marlon Humphrey cared enough to get his head wrapped around instead of face guarding Jamison Crowder, that would have been a pass breakup at the absolute worst. I'm not sure why Sam thought that that was an open play. I'm glad it worked out. These three metrics aren't always his fault, but an increase in them would be better decision-making for Sam Darnold, which overall elevates the play of the New York Jets. When the offense is playing better, Sam's playing better, the Jets are playing better, and you'll win more games when your quarterback's making the right decisions. Sam's fourth quarter comebacks and game-winning drives were some of the most important games for the New York Jets, because two of them were division rivals and one of them was the New York Giants. We all care about the Giants. Let's talk about the Dolphins, and let's talk about Buffalo. Week 14, 22-21 versus Miami, Lynn runs a fourth quarter comeback. Week 17, I don't care that it was week 17 and Buffalo knew they were going to be in the playoffs and so they don't play all their starters. I don't want to hear it. You go to win every week. It doesn't matter who's on the field. Organizes a fourth quarter comeback. Sam can win the important games, because beating your division rivals are always what's most important. He can do it, just need to build the right things around him so that way he can elevate his play and everyone can build off of each other. He can win the important games. He's making better decisions. When Sam Darnold shows levels of maturity on the football field, statistically, even if it doesn't ultimately win the game, because there's so many factors into why you win or lose a game. It's not just the quarterback play. But to see an increase in these stats would let us know that Sam is on the right path, because I know that there's a lot of concerns that his prime's being wasted. Okay, you know, Patrick Mahomes is in, you know, he's still on his rookie contract and he won the Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes went into one of the best built offenses with one of the greatest coaches of the past decade and has pulled off plays that nobody could conceive of in Madden. You can't program him to play the way he does. Sam Darnold hasn't had any of that. He's with a head coach who half the fan base thinks is absolutely toxic and is going to ruin him. All of his receiving core is young. He had nobody blocking for him, and he's still elevating his level of play a little bit every season. This upcoming season, provided he can play all 16 games, because if we could get a full 16 games out of Sam Darnold, that would be fantastic for once. Hasn't played a full season yet for the New York Jets. It's the little things. It's not just looking at the big picture. It's not just looking at if the team's winning or losing. It's not just looking to see if how many rushing yards Le'Veon Bell has. It's not just how many interceptions or touchdowns Sam Darnold's thrown. It's the little things. It's the advanced statistics. It's the things that you can't measure by statistics that are really going to show if their levels of play are improved. Because if these two faces of the offense can succeed, then the Jets' offense will in turn succeed. While you're here, go check out fullpresscoverage.com. Whether you're a Jets fan, a football fan, a baseball fan, an NBA fan, wrestling, we have wrestling at fullpresscoverage.com. Whatever sport, whatever team, we have the best articles, podcasts, radio shows, 24/7. We have great people working around the clock to get you the best content we can give you, to keep you up to date on your sports teams, on your news, on your opinions. Thank you for joining me. Thank you for choosing to spend your time with me. Thank you for making me and the staff at Full Press Jets your home for New York Jets news. This has been the JET Show. I am your host, Jesse E. Thurmer. Stay healthy, stay classy, stay safe, and go Jets.